Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's the name of this program. Today's Issues on AFR. I'm Tim, and we invite you to stay with us for the next hour and 25 minutes. We're going to talk about what's happening in the world, and joining me to do so, Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, you've now increased your responsibilities as our high-tech engineer.
Yes.
As Ed says, this here show.
That's right.
So tell us how we're spreading the word, Walker.
What's ironic is I increase the responsibilities of someone else. So I have Brent doing a little bit more legwork for YouTube.
Right.
So I'm passing it on. But
You're pressing the work down?
Yes. But I guess someone's got to do it.
But so, you take credit. But at least you're giving Brent. Brent's our producer.
Yeah,
he runs the
board. I'm giving Brent credit.
He runs the board over here for us.
Yeah.
So you put more work on him.
Yeah. But he's being credited.
You're crediting him now.
That's right. That's right.
So tell us how we're available to the world.
Yes. We're available to the World Wide Web on Facebook. You can go there and watch the show as each weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11:30 Central. Also,
we have cameras in the studio, and we're live video streaming on Facebook, right?
That's right. That's right. And you can comment on the show and read each news story posted there. In addition, this is a new addition, we are live streaming on YouTube. So if maybe you don't have a Facebook account, that's okay. Just type in Today's Issues Live on YouTube, and you'll see our live stream there. Of course, it'll be live 10 to 11:30 Central, Monday through Friday, and you can go back and watch the show maybe tonight if you missed part of it.
All right. Well, take advantage of all the different ways you can watch and or listen to this program. And Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, Fred, by the way, we're doing this only during the Olympic Games. Dun, 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 dun. Which I found ironic that the Olympic Games, the Winter Olympic Games can be shut down, people. Why? Because it's too cold. Now, there's an irony of ironies, right? Can you imagine the summer games, them going, you know what?
It's just too hot
for volleyball. we're not going to play today. Anyway, anything strike anyone's fancy last night?
Sean White.
Yeah.
31-year-old snowboarder. Now, that's old for Olympics, 31.
Yeah.
He won his third gold medal. And he's one of those, again, you have to watch this stuff. I mean, they're going down this basically half a pipe that is about 22 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And they snowboard up the side. They do multiple flips around, come back down again. And he's the best in the world again.
Yeah, it's maybe the word amazing is overused, but it's amazing with capital A to watch those guys. And the gals.
And the gals, too.
That's amazing.
Am I going to be rebuked if I admit that I haven't watched any Olympics? I was watching hockey last night, but NHL.
Are you going to watch any Olympic hockey?
I probably will.
When does that come on, next week?
I don't know.
It's second week, usually.
Second week.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch Olympic hockey.
No, that's
hockey.
Okay. Hey, this is a safe space.
I don't want to be judged. I want this
to be a
safe space.
No, this is a safe place for you, Ed.
If you're not watching figure skating a long time ago. I just can't.
You can't watch what now?
Men watch it doing figure skating.
Holding the girls. You know,
it's not always.
I don't think their heart's in it.
Oh, you mean they're not always? Oh, they're doing the single.
They're singles.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We're gonna get ourselves in trouble
with people.
I'm just kidding. I don't have anything against. My wife has watched.
You just haven't been.
I just haven't been watching.
Okay, gotcha. Well, all right.
Hey, I watched last night for about 15 minutes. I watched curling. And I know we've had that discussion on the show this entire week.
Right.
But what was very impressive is how, I don't know what you call, they're like massive hockey pucks that they slide across
rocks.
The ice. Rocks.
Rocks.
Is that what they call it?
Rocks.
Okay.
And so both teams try to get to the middle of this circle, and What I saw, which was impressive, is not just getting to the circle, but the last chance that I believe it was Russia, or the Russians that are there playing, they did was they pushed the rock, and there was four different rocks on there already, and they knocked them all off, and they hit bullseye.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's a metaphor for life right there.
And I would think there was probably some collusion involved. In
well, that. Mike Pence was there. You tell me. Oh, yeah. You think that's just coincidental?
Hey, so this was Russia that did this?
Yeah, and you got the Vice President of the United States there. Don't tell me they're not out in the hallway.
Talking about what they're going to do with North Korea. This is a Russia file. There you go.
That's the Russian men's choir.
It's a Russia. That's a Russia file story if I ever heard it.
You didn't know which gender that was.
The Russians knocked all the others off and then wound up in the middle? Come on.
Play that again right there. I bet if you did a survey of all 200 of those guys, I'm assuming there's about 200 of them, you're not going to find one of them self-identifying as a woman.
I think you're exactly right.
You think I'm right, Ed?
In fact, probably all of them ride on horses bare-chested.
That's right, and throw spears while they ride.
And eat raw meat.
Yeah. All right, so I think we can move on now. We've done our Olympic breakdown. The Olympic breakdown is Walker was impressed by the curling. That's what we call it, because somebody's one rock knocked five rocks off the perch.
Yes.
Walker found that gratifying. I found it a life lesson. Ed doesn't care, or has so far been uninterested in any of the Olympics.
Yes.
And Fred,
snowboarding.
Snowboarding has got Fred thinking there maybe there's a new career after news.
Hey, listen.
After news,
my slope has to be about 3 feet.
Well, I'll just tell you one thing, Fred. If you do that, you're coming off our insurance policy.
No insurance coverage.
I just want to make you aware. I think our insurance company will ask you, are you doing anything like parachuting or curling or
snowboarding?
Snowboarding.
Oh, curling is really safe.
Riding on horseback.
That we didn't know about. Yeah. I don't know. You got rocks flying around.
I'm just surprised that a young man like Walker would be interested in curling. It's not.
Well, it's one of those things.
Surprise you.
It's one of those things you watch when you, the Winter Olympics, 2 weeks, you watch sports. A lot of us do watch sports that we otherwise wouldn't watch because we find it unique and fascinating. And you got the whole world watching, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Winter Olympics went on 6 weeks, after 3 weeks, you have zero people watching.
Right.
You know, but it is that 2 weeks of, you know, and you're cheering for your countrymen to do well. So,
and Walker was an athlete in high school, right?
Yep.
So,
but didn't
he can
curl.
But he can appreciate the
skill, competition.
It takes to do these kind of things.
All right, back to the real world,
the news of the day.
Yeah, the news of the day. Fred.
Fort Meade, Maryland, which I understand is somewhere between Washington D.C. and Baltimore. It's in that kind of area. That is the headquarters of the National Security Agency, basically top secret, top secret, top secret. This morning, they had an incident. Apparently, a black SUV approached one of the gates, and we're still getting information, didn't stop. They were shot at by guards there, very heavily guarded facility. And what we were able to see from the news helicopters overhead, a couple of guys in handcuffs. We understand one person was wounded, and beyond that, we're not sure. Now, you know, the Associated Press story that we have on One News Now right now says, you know, some people take a wrong turn and go down there, but normally they're greeted by guys with big guns, and they quickly turn around. But these folks did not. So what was their motivation? What was the case? What was going on here? We're not really sure. But
when will we know?
It will unfold, I think, during the day. The
story probably be sooner than we find out anything about the Las Vegas shooter.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
This happened this morning. You're saying
just happened this morning, about 3 hours ago.
Okay.
Also, yesterday, The View. This is an ABC program. It's been around for.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
You love The View?
I DVR it. I watch it every night. No, I don't. folks. Don't email me.
It's a bunch of ladies, for the most part, far left in their viewpoints.
Well, I mean, ladies is a stretch, but go on.
Okay.
There's one conservative on there. It's,
usually.
John McCain's daughter, isn't it? Senator McCain's daughter? Cindy McCain?
Sometimes.
Is it Cindy? No, it's...
Megan.
Megan. Yeah. Megan McCain.
Cindy's his wife.
Yes, that's right.
Whoopi Goldberg and that
Joy Behar,
and I don't know who the other one is.
Anyway, on yesterday's program, they played a clip of Lady Amorosa, I believe her name is.
Amorosa.
She used to work in the Trump White House, African-American lady, and she got fired back a couple of weeks ago. She was brought in for a liaison with the African-American community. There was something that went wrong. She was fired. She's very bitter about it. On a program that she was on, she basically dissed Vice President Pence. And along the line of, Vice President Pence says that he believes in Jesus and that Jesus talks to him. Joy Behar decided to comment on that. So let's hear what Joy, the host of The View, had to say about that.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly.
Mental illness, if I'm not correct. But my question is, can he talk to Mary Magdalene without his wife in the room?
All right, so there's two points there. She's saying it's a mental illness. Now, what Vice President Pence would say, and we don't know if he said Jesus talks to me, but Jesus does talk to us through his word.
Right.
But they're mocking him on that. And the second comment had to do with what Vice President Pence had to say, that he travels always with his wife. He doesn't go out to lunch without taking his wife with him, and he's meeting with another woman.
Right.
So they're making fun of that?
They're making fun of that.
Oh,
as well.
And when Pence first said this, which was months ago,
yes,
the media roundly mocked him.
You religious prude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You Christian religious prude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if he had gone out with a woman and met her at lunch without his wife,
yeah,
then they would have implied that something was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be something going on. Who was that woman, Vice President?
Right. So you can't win.
You can't win with these folks.
Can't win. And two, those comments that Vice President made about, not meeting with a woman alone without his wife being present, that was before the Me Too sexual harassment thing blew up across the country and around the world. And it's one of those things, look who's laughing now.
Yeah.
You know what? It looks pretty prudent on the part of the vice president to have this policy in place, which you notice that his name's not in the news, like half of American men are, for sexually harassing women.
And my understanding is after this Me Too thing broke out and all this information was coming out, some of it related to corporate America, that companies now are taking a second look at how business is done.
That's right.
And you now find men saying, I am not going to travel alone with a woman.
Yes.
I'm not going to meet alone with a woman because I don't want to be accused.
Yes.
And can't defend myself. And so what's ironic is that a lot of people in corporate America, I don't know how widespread this is, but I expect it to spread widely. You have corporate America basically adopting Pence's policy.
Exactly. Anyway, back to the View program yesterday, in response to
what he had said is important, Fred.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
Back to the View.
I felt that too, Tim.
Well, I just want to defend my friend
Ed here as
having something worthy of at least a pause.
Yeah.
A pause.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's fine. Okay, now back to what we were talking about.
Go ahead, Ed.
Boy,
Fred.
We're sensitive today.
Well, I'm trying to.
I
would defend Fred if Ed acted like what he said. Really didn't matter.
So you're the referee? Yeah.
I'm guilty of bullying you.
I thought this was a safe space.
It is.
All right. Back to the View. Long enough pause?
Yes,
there we go.
Good.
All right. In response to what Joy Behar had to say in mocking Vice President Pence's Christianity, this morning on Fox and Friends, they interviewed Kathy Barnett. Now, I'm not familiar with this lady, but she is a Christian broadcaster. She's with Truth Exchange. She was a new person to me, but she had some fascinating things to say about the mocking that was done on The View against Vice President Pence.
It was really sad because, on one hand, we recognize that these women are just blind, and what we typically see from the left is that if they don't if they don't understand something, they have a tendency to try to despise it or mock it because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to mock those who do. But we know that America is a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. Despite what Joy says, despite what even President Obama declared many years ago, this is a Christian nation.
I'll make a prediction that Kathy Barnett will probably not appear on CNN or NBC.
Was she on CNN right there? Where
no,
was that
this
from?
Was Fox and Friends.
Oh, you're saying from
because of what she just said, mm-hmm. that this is a Christian nation,
right?
And that people don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think it's safe to say she's an evangelical Christian, outspoken, not afraid to say what's the guiding principle in her life. She probably wouldn't appear on other networks.
Let me just say too something about what's the lady's name we just
Kathy
heard from?
Kathy Barnett.
She's absolutely right, and the Bible teaches this. In listening to people like Joy Behart and Whoopi Goldberg and there's so many people, these commentators, who mock, for example, Vice President Pence over his desire to be faithful to his wife and not be put in any kind of controversy so he doesn't meet with women alone without his wife present. They mock him for that. And really they were mocking his faith, mm-hmm. his Christian faith. But these people are spiritually lost, mm-hmm. And they are walking in darkness. And so to that extent, we do understand why they say the things that they do. And we as human beings, we tend to mock what we don't understand oftentimes. That's just pretty normal human behavior.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and we all have to, and we as Christians, we have to resist doing that because it's kind of, as I said, it's human nature. But there is, the people in Hollywood, for example, much of the people in Hollywood and the national liberal news media, the progressives in this country, they, even though they're in spiritual darkness, so you have to take that into consideration the Jesus approach on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. That is true, but at the same time, it's also a reflection of Satan. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all these people are possessed. I'm just saying they are unregenerate. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Unregenerate. So they are reflecting a satanic view of morality, if you will. And so they love to make fun of Christians and Christianity and Christian moral standards. And but on the other hand, you let somebody like, if Mike Pence were to slip, for example, and do something immoral, according to the Christian faith, then they would say, oh, look at there, he's a hypocrite.
Right.
He's a hypocrite. So, and their claim, they would be criticizing him for being a hypocrite about a standard that they themselves don't even subscribe to.
Right. And mocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it comes down to a lot of this is just, it's irrational. So you say, why are they doing this? Why are they making fun of the vice president over something so, what I view as commonsensical? It's because they hate the standard of Christian morality, which teaches one man, one woman for life. Sex, any other outside of that context, is sin. These people don't believe that. They think that's antiquated. They think that's backwards. They think that's Christians judging and being self-righteous. And so it's all a reaction to that.
Well, I think here's the other thing. If Vice President Pence was a Muslim, do you think that Joy Behar would be making fun of his faith, mocking him believing in Allah and following the Quran?
Do you think
so? Yeah. She would never, never do that.
No, that's a good point.
They feel safe in mocking biblical Christianity.
And I agree with what Tim's saying. What you guys have both been saying. These are things we ought to expect. In fact, the early church in the first century, they were slandered repeatedly by those who were suspicious of their faith and hated it. They were rumors being said that Christians in their private meetings were practicing cannibalism because of the reference to eating during communion, eating yes. cr- the flesh and drinking the blood, mm-hmm. and that they were engaging in gross immorality. So they all these kinds of lies were spread in the early church. So we can expect it, like you guys are saying. At the same time, I think there's nothing wrong with pointing out mm-hmm. the irrationality, mm-hmm. because this is a war for the soul of America, if you will, and there are a lot of people on the fence. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost an act of apologetics to say what you just said, mm-hmm. that they mock the standard, ridicule it, but if Pence failed in keeping that standard, they would go, aha, hypocrite, you failed to live according to the standard that we mocked last week.
Right. Yeah. I want to say one other thing. I mean, Fox News has people on there I disagree with. Shepard Smith, one of their hosts, might as well be.
Glad I'm working in the afternoon.
Yeah. Don't watch it. It is the Hate Trump Hour. But I want to congratulate, I think, is it Ainsley Earhart is one of the co-hosts on Fox and Friends? I honestly do believe she's a born-again believer. She'll have Franklin Graham on, and she praises him when he talks about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm serious when I say this. Kathy Barnett, she would not appear or be asked to appear on any other network.
Right.
But she was allowed this morning to say and talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many secular networks would even allow that, or they tried to dismiss it or mock it? So I just want to congratulate Fox News for...
Are Brian Kilmeade and Steve Ducey still on there? I think
they are. Yeah,
yes.
They are.
I don't get to watch early morning television because I don't get up early enough. I'm kind of like Ed on that. I just don't have any passion for it, like Ed on the Olympics, for early morning television. Too busy getting ready for work
and getting started.
In. Yeah,
and you get
like
started
that.
With all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but friends, Fox and Friends has what I used to watch it a lot, five, six, 7 years ago, and I really enjoyed the show. She is, I believe, a believer. Yeah. Ainsley Earhart. And the interesting thing is, I think that's the favorite program of one President Donald Trump.
Yes.
So he watches most every day
because
he'll comment on mm-hmm. on their show mm-hmm. in the morning.
Yeah.
I saw her in the Reagan Airport when she was, this is a few months back, Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C. She was walking in to get a plane, and I was walking in about the same time. I didn't speak to her, Ainsley Earhart, but then that night I saw her interviewing the president at the White House. So very interesting. She had no desire to interview me.
You're a president.
Even knew who I was. But anyway. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I tell you what, let's take our break just a minute early. And you can come back with our next news story.
Okay.
Also, Abraham Hamilton III, Abe, is going to come in and talk with us today. He has, I asked him to comment on, Abe obviously is an African-American, and I've asked him to comment on Black History Month from a Christian perspective. And so he's going to tell us people he admires and we can learn from in history. African Americans that have had an impact on our society and on the church. So Abe will talk about that, and we'll continue looking at much more news to discuss here on this program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You want to watch this show? You go to Facebook Live, Today's Issues, or YouTube Live, video streaming, Today's Issues. We'll be back momentarily.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That is a separate tour. Now, we put them back to back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back to back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Joy Behar, one of the squawking magpies on The View, engaged in a nasty bit of Christian bashing the other day. It all started when they played a clip of reality TV star Omarosa saying Vice President Pence hears the voice of Jesus. Behar was dumbfounded that Jesus would talk to anyone, much less the vice president. She then said that hearing voices is a mental illness. Well, if hearing the voice of God makes you mentally insane, add my name to that list. Because just like Vice President Pence, I too have heard the voice of God, as have many faithful believers, including Martin Luther King Jr. Does Ms. Behar believe that MLK was mentally insane too? Now, if The View wants to employ an anti-Christian bigot, that is their business. But quite frankly, had Joy Behar said about gay people what she said about Christians, she would have been fired on the spot. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody. I tell you what, one of the great benefits of working at American Family Association, American Family Radio, is the free popcorn. And I would rank that. Would you consider the benefits we have in our ministry for working here? Would you put that in the top five, Ed?
Absolutely. The free popcorn. Unashamedly.
You take advantage of it, what, how many times a day?
14.
That's a personal question. I don't feel like I need to have to answer that. That's like asking how many times I go to the bathroom.
You're going
to
plead the fifth about popcorn? Come on, man.
Twice.
Well, here's
to Fred's point, once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Here's what Ed can do.
Sometimes I just don't like Canadians. Hey. You know that?
Yeah, I'm but he takes like, an 18-gallon.
but here's what Ed can do. Ed can mount a defense and then plead the fifth like Lois Lerner.
Yes, that's right.
She gives a five-minute statement and then says she's pleading the fifth.
Pleading the fifth.
I know. I have 2-3 minutes to get my popcorn down. That's where I'm finishing up right now. I apologize, but I'm going to go a little face in the back of my mouth.
You too can see it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch me eat popcorn on YouTube.
It is. I will say also, the 25-cent Diet Cokes I get with the popcorn,
right.
That's right up there.
Right.
That's not free, but
not
it's
not free.
No inflation at AFA.
That's right. Been 25 cents. I've been here 22 years. It's been 25 cents for 20, the whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have the popcorn machine going back there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Fred. I'm going to give you all our last names again because take too long. And Walker, tell us what we're doing on the World Wide Web.
Yes, we're live streaming on Facebook, and we are also live streaming on YouTube. We are picking up some viewers on YouTube.
Are we now?
I think some folks are switching from Facebook to YouTube.
You think so?
Yeah. So anyways, multiple ways to watch the show, but you can find out everything about the show.
How do you get it on YouTube? If I type in YouTube, then what?
Well, if you go to the YouTube search bar, you would type in Today's Issues Live.
Uh-huh.
It'll be right at the top of the screen there.
What will?
the video.
Us. Show?
Yep.
Okay. You eating popcorn.
Okay. Well, somebody popped it, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
I'm with you.
That's
why I bring my 18-gallon bucket.
We can talk more about this later.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's of great interest to our listening audience. Abraham Hamilton III is with us, as he does, as Abe joins us most Wednesdays during this time slot, to talk about whatever is in the news, a lot of times relative to law, because Abe is a attorney. He's a constitutional attorney, and he's also a public policy analyst for us here at American Family Association and a radio talk show host in his own right each afternoon from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio with the Hamilton Corner. Abe, asked you to come in yesterday. Yesterday, I sent you an email. I said, can we talk about Black History Month? It's February. And you said, sure. So I said, whatever you want to bring to the listening audience, let's discuss. So sure. It's all yours.
Yeah. So, and when you emailed me, I responded to you. I said, well, I think it's important that we understand that the development of Black History Month came as a result of the unfortunate reality that people didn't want to have an expansive understanding of American history. Because I would submit to you that Black history is American history, and that you have, you know, Americans who happen to have higher melanin content who've been here from the very beginning. I mean, you have explorers who were here in the 1500s from Africa and so on and so forth. And I just think it's important for Americans. I think it's important for Christians. I think it's important for all of us to understand that this really is American history. And I think we do ourselves a disservice if we allow ourselves to be continually robbed from the contributions of things that develop. Like, for example, there's a common phrase in America where we used to say, well, that's the real McCoy. A lot of Americans don't realize that came as a result of an inventor who happened to have a higher melanin content by the name of Elijah McCoy, who was so excellent at his craft that when things were produced in the country, people didn't want it unless it came from Elijah McCoy. Hence the phrase,
I didn't know
the
that.
Real McCoy. That's where it came
I didn't
from.
Know that.
Absolutely.
Fascinating.
Yeah, Ben
I
Carson
I thought it was the
Hatfields
and the...
No.
I'm embarrassed to say I thought
you
the same thing.
No,
it's not from the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's from Elijah McCoy, an amazing inventor.
Now, what kind of things did he invent?
Oh, he invented streetlights. He invented all sort of things that are just mainstream inventions in American history. And, I mean, we have to be honest. A lot of those things were intentionally suppressed by evil people who sought to dehumanize individuals with darker skin. That's a real fact.
When did he live?
You know, I don't remember the dates right off the top of my head.
Or 20th century.
No, it's prior to. It's
1800s?
Prior to. Yeah. Ben Carson writes about it extensively in his book to introduce lots of people to the STEM field. I have a son who's inclined in that way, so I spent some time there.
You want to read a powerful story, by the way, since you just mentioned his name. Mm-hmm. And there's a movie based on the book about Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Who now serves in the Trump administration, but was
HUD secretary.
He became world famous as a brain surgeon,
pediatric neurosurgeon.
Yes,
first ever to separate conjoined twins joined at the skull.
Isn't his autobiography called Gifted Hands?
Gifted Hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elijah McCoy looks like he was born in 1844 mm-hmm. and passed away in 1929.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What does it say? What's the first line in that?
Elijah J. McCoy was a Canadian-American inventor and engineer who was notable for his 57 U.S. patents, mm-hmm. most having to do with the lubrication of steam engines.
That's right.
57?
57.
Yeah. Right. I don't have one. And I'm 54. I better get busy. Here. What do you think, Ed? Between you and me?
Listen, at age 54, I don't think you start inventing things. I think you're just happy to be able to use the new ones that are being invented.
I got you. Duly noted.
You know, there's one thing. This is fascinating because normally during Black History Month, how come I'm not getting that story from the mainstream media? Yeah. They like to deal with other things mm-hmm. that tend to divide instead of a terrific story like this mm-hmm. that the American people should be educated about.
Absolutely. And that's why I continue to, as far as I'm concerned, beat the drum about this is American history. We talked at length on the Hamilton Corner yesterday with Ed about the advancement of progressivism in our country. And if you think progressivism is not involved in framing even how people discuss the Black History Month, you would be woefully mistaken that, unfortunately, when you discuss people who have darker skin in the country, most of the time it's slavery, then it's the civil rights movement of the 1960s.
Right.
And you have a whole huge swath of American history that is ignored, and I believe it's intentionally ignored to create a certain narrative in the minds of all Americans.
To divide, right?
To divide on different reasons, to have most Americans who have lighter melanin content, less melanin content, thinking that the only thing about them in America is slavery in 1960s,
yeah.
When that is not the case. There's a civil rights movement of the 1860s. Some of my heroes, Robert Brown Elliott, who was one of the first congressmen elected with darker melanin content in Reconstruction from 1869 to 1873.
A Republican.
A Republican who read Spanish, Latin, and French. And if you would read some of his extemporaneous speeches off the top of his head, it would put you to shame.
Wow.
To see what the types of things these guys discussed. But those people are shielded from our understanding from our populace because they want us to have this feeble understanding of America.
Is there a particular book that has these stories in it that you're familiar with?
Or? Yeah, one, you have American History in Black and White by David Barton that talks at length about, you know, Hiram Rhodes Revels, the first United States senator who had darker melanin, had darker skin in America from South Carolina, elected during Reconstruction. He talks about them at length. I have another book about the...
Well, what's that book again? I'm writing it down. David Barton, who's our
David Barton,
our good
he's
friend.
The
what's
author
the name
of it.
Book?
It is American History in Black and White by David Barton. You can get it at wallbuilders.com if you're interested. I have another book, actually on my desk in my office, about John Marrant. John Marrant, a lot of people don't know who he is. Lived from 1755... to 1791, he got converted to Christianity as a 14-year-old boy, ultimately ended up encountering Native Americans and becomes an evangelist to the Native American populace. Most people, when they think about evangelism in the Native Americans, they don't think that, man, you had a guy with darker skin who was highly involved in it, traveling around the American continent, North America, to evangelize Native American tribes. We don't hear this kind of stuff. But these are the
what
types of things.
Name?
John Marrant. John Marrant.
You know, one of the things, too, I was just thinking about what you were saying about the narrative that's been created, jumping from slavery to the civil rights movement. But a lot of people don't know that, you know, we talked about progressivism on your show last night, but that progressives and progressive ideas and Darwinian ideas were in the progressive movement in their attempt to, like Margaret Sanger and others, to get rid of black people.
Yes.
I mean, basically, you know, genocide. And that was intertwined with the early progressive movement, but that was in 1880 to 1920, and conveniently that is skipped over if you just go from slavery to the civil rights movement.
And think about if you have these same people who are Darwinian evolutionists at the core, who are embracing the progressive agenda, and they're involved in educating America. You think it's an accident that when they talk about black people in America, they go from slavery to the 1960s? Of course it's not an accident. These are the same people who thought it was efficacious to get rid of all black people. So it's not surprising to me that they're invested in creating this false narrative to where the populace is deprived of these rich, rich stories of American history.
And black people are only victims in that narrative.
Yes. That's right.
They're not individuals capable of performing and achieving like some of the individuals you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And if you start teaching these both sides of the American history, like you're talking about, then young kids will start to say, well, I can be a doctor.
Yeah.
I can be an engineer. I can create this. But instead, they teach consistent shame of America so that people are discouraged. They just think that America is just this awful place. There's no hope for me. And so I'm just going to complain, rather than teaching that there's optimism.
And when I say teach American history, I think teach it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When we search the scriptures, I am grateful to God that we get to see David as a murderer, David as all of these things, and we get to see how David responds in repentance to different things. In the New Testament, we see the Lord referring to him as a man after God's own heart. When you teach the entire story, what happens is that people become humanized, and we begin to recognize, man, in within the human experience, we have all sorts of things that happen, and we have a far more fortified foundation that really would allow for the gospel to come in. Because when you see these stories and you hear about, you learn about these different things, you'll get to learn how the gospel is an ultimate game changer.
Can I ask you a question?
Is the ultimate game changer? Yes.
Have you been ever asked to go to a public school during Black History Month or whenever and say what you just said on the air here in the last 15 minutes.
Once. And I can tell you it was by a pastor friend of mine who happened to be involved in the public schools. But that was the only time I had been invited to do that.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch our show and or listen, you can go to our Facebook Live page for Today's Issues. And Walker's just got us on YouTube now. So YouTube live streaming for Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You can check that out as well. One more question for you, Abe. Abraham Hamilton III, who's on AFR each afternoon at 5:05 Central Time. So you want to hear Abe's show, join him at 5:05 Central Time this afternoon. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas,
mm-hmm.
What an incredible life story this gentleman has. But he was just recently a bust. I'm not sure exactly what they put into the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., which is mm-hmm. the newest museum on the mall there in Washington, Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Smithsonian.
It is.
Okay. There had to be an outcry,
right?
You know, to get him honored. You know, here he is, the second African American Supreme Court justice in our country's history. So it's been a fight and an uphill battle for black conservatives to get recognition for their achievements and accomplishments, because the progressives, they discredit or discount, Abe knows this, black conservatives, because they don't subscribe to the progressive view of the world, so to speak, as it relates to race. So it was not, but it was nice to see justice, to use a pun here, Supreme mm-hmm. Court justice, be done so that Justice Clarence Thomas could get his due.
Yeah, it underscores the point we're making here today. Here you have, and he's alive, you know, the second, you know, black Supreme Court justice in the history of the country. There has to be some arm wrestling for him to be honored in the African American History Museum. And that just shows you that there's an ideological fault line that is employed, that it's really not about skin color as much as it is ideology.
Counter-narrative.
Right.
Yes. I mean, he goes against the narrative that the left, who's in charge, I'm sure, of the Smithsonian. He goes against that.
Thank
narrative.
You, Abe.
You're very welcome.
Who are you having on this afternoon besides yourself?
It's just me. I don't have any guests necessarily.
Okay.
But we'll talk about how similar to anti-conservative ideology bias exists. There's anti-Christian bias, especially if your name happens to be Mike and Pence.
Right. Okay, you're going to talk about that this afternoon?
A little bit, yes, sir.
All right, thank you, Abe.
All right.
Abraham Hamilton III. By the way, if you want to send us an email here at American Family Radio, you can do so at comments@afr.net. 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 All right, what's next, Fred?
Kind of, it was an interesting story that came up on Monday of this week, and a lot of the networks covered this live. It was the unveiling of portraits of former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. And these are portraits that will appear in the Smithsonian, and they're huge portraits. Anyway, they had a news conference unveil these portraits. The portrait of former President Barack Obama was interesting. He's sitting in a chair, and he's got a tie
got
on.
Got ivy all over him.
Ivy all over him. I'm not sure of the background
Probably
on that.
The background, not
but
all over him. But
here's what's interesting. He chose, President Barack Obama chose the artist who did the portrait, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The artist's name is Kahind Wiley. Kahind Wiley. I've never heard of this gentleman before. But somebody did some research on Kahind Wiley, and amongst the paintings that he has done in the past, a couple of them have included a portrait of a black woman holding the decapitated head of white women.
Holding the knife in the other hand.
Holding the knife in the other hand and the bloody decapitated head of a white woman. We shouldn't be surprised, perhaps, but the mainstream media, in covering this story, never made mention of what this artist, Mr. Wiley, has done in the past. And I find that, maybe I shouldn't say shocking, I guess, but if it was all reversed, we're talking about another president of a different color of skin, there would have been absolute outrage. But not a word was said. As I said, this is kind of buried in some lower-level media that have talked about this. But the mainstream media, in covering this, made no mention of these former portraits that this Mr. Wiley has painted.
And in fact, I'm looking at a CNBC article about it, and it mentions nothing about that. In fact, it does have President Obama's statement at the gallery on Monday, and he says he's explaining why he chose Kahind Wiley as the artist to do it. What I was always struck by whenever I saw his portraits was the degree to which they challenged our conventional views of power and privilege. And what he did not mention, as you said, is the fact that he had previously painted these two, as far as I can tell, it's just these two separate paintings of a black woman holding the severed head of a white woman. So, I mean, that's horrifying.
Did President Obama know about this before he selected this fella?
I don't see how he wouldn't.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I did a search on the guy's name, Kahind Wiley, and all these images pop up. He's done a lot of them as an artist.
Somebody tweeted, I was looking at Snopes because it pops up. Popped in Obama artist because I didn't know the fellow's name while y'all were talking. And the Snopes site comes up. And I don't necessarily trust Snopes, but it is a good place maybe to start sometimes to see what the story is on a particular issue, because so many things get blown out of proportion or, aren't necessarily true. But Snopes has a tweet on here by somebody, and they say quote, "This is what is confusing to me. You can't have Confederate flags. You take down historical statues because they are racist, but the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, picks a guy who painted these pictures to paint his presidential portrait, and that's just fine?" So I don't know. Has President Obama spoke on this issue at all? Because this was only revealed
2 days
after
ago.
The fact, huh?
This only happened. This occurred
two days ago. Did he say anything about this?
Not that I'm aware of.
No,
and I'm just thinking, can you, out of all the painters and artists in our country, can you not pick someone that's less controversial?
Right. Or did you deliberately pick him?
Oh, absolutely. There's no way you pick. This is a big deal. It takes a lot of planning. You don't pick this painter and not know what he's painted in the past.
Right. Now, let me just say this. As I was doing some research on this yesterday, some of the discussion about this goes to former President Obama's statement about this artist's take on power and privilege. Some people are saying, I don't think in the way of justifying these awful paintings, but that he is using a famous painting from the artist Caravaggio from the 1600s or something, that is a painting of a Hebrew princess named Judith, who cut off the head of, I don't remember whether it was, I think it was a Persian king. And that is what Kahinde is doing, showing the white woman as the oppressor and the black woman as the parallel to the oppressed. So
okay,
that may go to
let me just make this note. We'll move on to the next topic here. Kahinde Wiley, is that his name?
Kahind or Kahinde.
His last name is Wiley. And he's the one that painted the portrait of President Obama, which was unveiled Monday, you said?
Yes, sir.
Which shows President Obama sitting in a chair, and the backdrop is greenery. I don't know if it's ivy or flowers or whatever. To me, it's really, really odd looking, but that doesn't make it, maybe they wanted to do something different. But the point is, if this gentleman had painted portraits in his past of a white woman, if President Trump sat for a picture, if President Trump, sat for a painting, and he chose he chose a artist who had done pictures of white women beheading black women. It wouldn't matter what the explanation was.
Right.
It would be all over the news as proving he's a racist, right? So, I mean, I think now our artwork can certain times be avant-garde or making a political statement, which is under, you know, you can claim that whether you agree with it or not. Art does do that sometimes. But I'm just saying the double standard that would be here if President Trump had done something exactly the same way.
How do these two paintings, I know you looked at, you can see them. How do these two paintings not advocate for violence?
Right.
You know, these two paintings of black women with holding the not only the knife, but the severed head of a white woman. How does that not advocate racial violence?
There's no explanation you can give to me.
No.
Mm-hmm. None. This is a man who's, this artist who painted President Obama is painting hatred.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Hatred for...
It would be automatically recognized and it publicly, chastised, rebuked if, like you said, the races were reversed.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Fred? We got 3 minutes here.
All right, story we had back
about... I need
about...
some happy news, Fred, I'm telling you.
So happy news, happy news.
Go ahead. If you got something more important, I'll let y'all...
Go ahead with the bad news, Fred.
I'm probably going to walk out and go get more popcorn.
All right.
Come back with... Go ahead.
If you're planning to go to New Hampshire this summer with your kids and you want to stop at your favorite fast food place, you know, where they have Happy Meals, Bright Meals, whatever the
Golden
case may
be. Arches. I know what you're saying.
All right. In New Hampshire, a bill has been introduced to outlaw the sale of sodas, your Diet Coke and everything else.
Not Diet Coke, just
regular Coke.
Right.
Yeah, because it's evil Diet Coke. Coke, whatever the case may be, Dr. Pepper. The bill would outlaw the sale of sodas in restaurants. We're not talking about public school anymore. In restaurants.
Yes.
For kids under a certain age. So kids that would normally get the Happy Meal. These restaurants will be forbidden by law to get, you know, the hamburger, the fries, and a Coke. No, it must be milk or 100% fruit juice. Outlawing. So now we've moved from outlawing sodas in our public schools. In New Hampshire, at least, we're going to outlaw the sale in privately owned restaurants, outlaw the sale of sodas to kids.
Well, I mentioned in our story meeting this morning that I grew up in New Hampshire. Some of our listeners know that. It used to be a rock-ribbed Republican red state. The state motto is live free or die.
Mm.
Now, even back in the mid to late 70s, but certainly into the 80s and 90s, people started moving from Massachusetts up over the boundary state line to New Hampshire. They were running from the tax policies that the liberals had voted for in Massachusetts and have turned New Hampshire into a purple or blue state where we're not just going to not live free or die. Mm. The government's going to tell us what we can drink and serve our kids.
So what next? So we move from schools. We're now going to privately owned restaurants. Will it be next parents at home? We're going to outlaw you from... of serving your kids sodas.
If they could get away with it, they would absolutely do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't have a single doubt in my mind about that.
Talk about police state.
Yep.
Where is that, New Hampshire?
New Hampshire.
Is it a law now?
It's a bill that's been introduced.
Okay, hopefully it'll...
Die of sugar.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.